You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Residents in the San Joaquin Valley already know the name Amanda Renteria. Now the rest of the state is about to get acquainted with the Woodlake native and former national political director for the Clinton campaign in 2016. Last week, she formally launched her campaign for California governor in a move that puzzled many political observers. After all, the June primary is just a few months away, and Renteria needs to build an organization, raise funds, and more importantly, get name recognition statewide in a very short time frame. Amanda Renteria joins us now to talk about those and other things. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for everyone who's listening in my home valley. It's great to be on air.
Amanda, the last time we spoke, it was back in 2014, and you were running for Congress to unseat David Valadao. That bid was ultimately unsuccessful. Why do you think you can win this time in a field against candidates that already have a head start?
Well, I think we're in an entirely different year. And as you can see around the state, really around the country, you have a different kind of political engagement today. And I think what you're seeing is people really do want to have political leaders who are sincerely a part of public service, who have been there for a really long time. I also just believe that we are in an incredibly important moment right now where we need leaders who are really paying attention to all parts of our state. And, of course, being from the Central Valley, I don't believe that this is just a drive-through area. This is my home. This is where I'm from. And when you think about the challenges that are facing California, you know, the Central Valley has a unique perspective on this, whether we're talking about education or clean air and clean water or different industries that we have in the Central Valley. You know, that perspective deserves a voice. And frankly, I believe that all Californians, it's not only important for them to hear it, but I believe they're ready to hear from different perspectives today.
Running for governor is something that usually people take some time to deliberate over. Was it a long process for you? Walk us through how you came to make this decision to leave the attorney general's office.
Sure. So I do want to say that leaving the California Department of Justice as the chief of operations was, I had to really think through that. And because I loved the work that we did there in terms of public safety and everything that we've been doing, fighting on the front lines in terms of protecting California people and California values. But as I began to look at this governor's race, it's been brewing over time as I think about the leadership of our state. And it particularly hit me in that last week of January when I attended the Women's March, when I saw protesters and young people speaking out, dreamers speaking out in front of UCLA's campus. And then I walked into the gubernatorial debate. And I sat there in the audience with many young folks, college students, and we're looking at the stage, and it happens to be two front runners who are arguing over who used their political power more to enrich themselves. And it was one of those moments when you're sitting there as one of the people in the audience looking upon an industry that I honor and value so much, and seeing that right now we have two folks who have basically used that power to help themselves. And for somebody that's been in this business, from a teacher to a chief of staff in the United States Senate to the Department of Justice, that isn't what public service is about. That's not what public service was supposed to ever be about. And I couldn't help but jump in and say, we've got to change this, because the only way we're going to change it is by having political leaders who have always been dedicated to the real work of serving people.
But you know something about campaigns and just the amount of energy and effort that goes into something like this, especially in a place like California. You have to understand the mammoth task that must be ahead of you, just on an organizational standpoint. Are you not?
Absolutely. I mean, clearly I've seen it. In fact, not only did I see my own race, but over 2016, I saw about 50 different campaigns. And I'll tell you, politics has changed in this election cycle. Anyone who believes people are running the same kind of campaigns or that you need to run the same kind of campaigns and win has been asleep at the wheel if they haven't seen what's happened in Virginia and all across the country, where you see people speaking out, having a political engagement different than ever before. And that's really what we're going to lean into in this campaign. Let's be honest, I know this well. People really start tuning in January. And so I know now's the time to make sure that we're doing everything we can to meet people where they are. But we've got to use the new forms of communication, make sure that we are digital first and really talking to people where they are online. So it's certainly a mounting task. We know that. I've seen enough of it. But I also believe we're in a unique moment in time where people are tuning in and listening, and it starts now.
There are members of your own party who sort of had a raised eyebrow, or perhaps even more than that, to the announcement that you're entering this race. Sarah Reyes, former assemblywoman for Fresno, recently suggested on Twitter that your campaign is undercutting the Latino vote and the women's vote, and that this is some sort of a deal. How do you respond to that sort of criticism?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking me that question, because the idea that I would make a deal when everything else in my career has never been about that, you know, whether it was I was a school teacher in the Central Valley or going from that to Harvard Business School, I'm one of the very few that entered into the public service arena. And at the height of my policy career in D.C. as a chief of staff, most folks go into lobby world, take that big paying job. I didn't. I actually came right back to the Central Valley and tried to inspire others. And right after the presidential campaign, again, a moment where a lot of political electeds or political leaders jump into the private sector to make a lot of money, I didn't. I went right into the Department of Justice to be on the front lines. So the notion that I would do anything to either undercut my passion for public service or a community I feel so strongly about, obviously as the daughter of farm workers, and my dad is from Mexico, Zacatecano, the notion that I would ever sell out is disturbing. And I think the truth is it really validates the unfortunate cynicism that exists within our political arena. And it really gets to the heart at exactly why we need people who run for the right reasons. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but I believe so strongly in the passion of making sure that we have good public servants that I think as we talk to more folks, they'll understand that. And as they get to know me, they'll understand that across the state as well.
We only have a little bit of time, but I want to ask you about a few policy issues here, since this is really what the race is all about. Governor Brown has been all in on the high-speed rail project. Recently, news came out that the Central Valley stretch of that line is $3 billion over budget, and there's real concern as to whether the state will have enough money to finish the initial stretch at this rate. If you were in the governor's seat in Sacramento, would it still be full speed ahead or more of a cautious note from a Renteria administration?
So I think we've obviously have to look at the numbers. My career has been in the finance side of it and budgeting, et cetera. At the same time, I recognize that, you know, my two nieces recently graduated from high school, and the ability for them to have access to other parts of our state is also incredibly important, whether that's access to the jobs or experiences of being able to go up north or down south, and really connecting our state. I believe we do have to do that. I think to cut off Central Valley kids and opportunity both ways, whether people coming into the Central Valley or Central Valley folks being able to get out of the Central Valley, that connection is incredibly important to one California. And so I think we need to have the hard discussion about how do we do it and how do we do it efficiently. So I look forward to that discussion as governor. With the unique perspective of understanding what it means for the Central Valley and our kids and opportunities going forward.
One last question. There's the Twin Tunnels project, which may at some point get whittled down to one tunnel. There's talk that the giant Metropolitan Water District in Southern California might essentially take over that project. Would that be something you support? Where do you fall on the Twin Tunnels?
Right. So I think we've got to take California water in a much broader perspective. I actually said a lot of this when I ran for Congress in the Central Valley, that the idea that we're going to have one answer to solve all of this is really not understanding water policy very well. And so when I ran, I said you had to have a number of different policies, including thinking about the tunnels, thinking about desalinization plants, thinking about what other kind of new efficiency models we have to take a look at. And the idea that we really haven't taken a comprehensive approach in terms of bringing the stakeholders to talk about what are the different ways we can do that is really a misstep in all of this. And so partly this is exactly why having a voice from the Central Valley is incredibly important. I think in the Central Valley, we've always understood that there is no single answer to this. And unless we actually take a much more comprehensive approach that does have stakeholder views from the South, from the North, and from the Central Valley, we'll never actually have a true answer to our water policy here in this state.
Amanda Renteria is the newest candidate for California governor. She hails originally from Woodlake. She ran for Congress in 2014 against David Valadao and most recently was the national political director for the Clinton campaign and then eventually went on to the attorney general's office in California in between. Amanda just announced her candidacy and she joined us today on Valley Public Radio. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.